Yo, what's up, guys, and welcome down to Let's Get Real. Today we got a very, very special guest with us. She is, yes, a familiar face to me because I met her for a long time. But first, before we introduce her, it's time we get to the intro. Let's go. That's right. Now, today I say we have a very special guest simply because I've known her only, I would say, not super duper long. But for the time that I've known her, what a short time that I've known her, right? She's had such an amazing journey in such a short time. And it's such a privilege to have her here on the show today because God's timing is perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on the show, the founder of Puras, please welcome on the show, Miss Angie Chong. Hello, Miss Angie.
Hi, Brandon.
Now, before we start, can we just start in so much joy and just proclaim this out loud? Miss Angie, today you're 100% cancer-free!
Woo! Woo! 100% wow. Cancer-free and in full remission.
Yes!
After 7 months.
After just 7 months. Now, we sit here with so much joy. I can see the joy of the Lord radiating through you as well. And God's timing is perfect. And I'll share this a little backstory before we even begin an interview. And it's because we were supposed to do this interview quite some time ago.
Yes, exactly.
And we were talking about it, right? We ding-ding-dang-dang.
For about 2-3 months.
Months. And then finally, you are here and God's timing couldn't be more perfect. And I say we started off by saying that you're 100% cancer-free and in full remission. And the reason is because I want to start off with what happened next Tuesday, last Tuesday. What happened last Tuesday? Tell me.
So Tuesday, it was my PET scan after 7 months. So when we were in the oncologist's office, because he had a very, very busy day and he just slotted me in for that PET scan, PET scan and MRI. So when we walked into the office, it was like, oh, okay, good that he could see us today after the PET scan in the morning. Mm. So when we sat down, he and my husband is also a medical doctor. Yeah. So he hasn't seen the PET scan result just yet before we sat down. We sat down, he looked through his screen. And when he looked at the screen, both my husband and him, they were like looking very serious. And they frowned. And in my mind was like,
oh no.
Oh no. What happened? So after they frowned, they smiled and they broke down laughing, you know. And it's like they were so happy because they said that they were expecting me to improve, much improve. But they didn't expect the cancer cell to be 100% gone. They didn't expect me to be in full remission after 7 months.
Wow, yeah. Come on.
So it was like, it is indeed a medical miracle.
Yeah. I love it because your husband is a doctor as well.
My husband is a doctor.
Yeah.
And I have two other doctors at home. Both my sons are doctors. So when the three of them sat together, they said, wow, this is a medical miracle.
Indeed.
Indeed.
And we say it's a miracle because we attribute it to none other than our Lord Jesus. He gave you this miracle.
Definitely. Our Lord Jesus is such a miracle healing God. Mm. I can't thank Him enough for my life and what I've gone through in the last 7 months.
Yeah.
I didn't suffer a bit. I didn't even have to go through chemo.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I did suffer a little bit, very, very little, was the gamma knife operation they did on me with the equipment and all that.
Yeah.
So no pain, nothing except injection.
Wow.
So praise Lord.
Wow.
Gave me second lease of life.
Yes.
And I'm completely cancer-free.
Wow. I'm so happy to hear this. Oh, so excited. Now, of course, we talk about all this exciting stuff, right? But, you know, you're cancer-free today. Your husband's a doctor. And you talked about second lease of life. We'll get to that later on.
Okay,
we'll get to this later on, okay?
Okay.
Keep this in the back of your mind. But before we get that, as always with all our guests, we want to get to know you a little bit better. And to do that, we always go back and take a time capsule all the way back to Miss Angie Chong, not the founder of Puras, you know. We were talking about Angie Chong, literally you when you were a little girl, when you were growing up, those years. So we want to bring you back to those times. If you don't mind, could you share a little bit about your background? How was it like growing up for Angie? Did you have strict parents? You know, were you a very smart kid? Were you a very naughty kid? Tell us a little bit about your growing up years.
Okay. So first, I come from a very closely knitted family. Mm. a very closely knitted family with strong Chinese traditional values. All of us were educated in Chinese missionary school. All five siblings were educated in Chinese missionary school.
Oh, there are five
school.
Of you.
Five of us,
you
yeah.
are number...
I'm number four.
Okay, number four. Yeah.
So I grew up with my grandfather. My grandfather loved me so dearly. And from a very young age, he has always imparted strong Chinese traditional values upon me.
Right.
Yeah. So I remember we used to... Or he used to make me write the Chinese characters and explain to me all the different Chinese characters.
Yeah.
And not only writing, but I had to use the black ink.
Ah, the big brush, that one.
Yeah,
la.
Yeah, yeah. The big brush that I had to write over and over again.
Wow. Wait, do you still remember how to write it today?
Yes, I do remember.
That's great because actually we have... No. We got the brush. No, we don't have it.
So not only... he made me write those Chinese characters over and over again, but he also used to write to his relatives or our relatives in China, and he used to make me write those characters in Chinese. He said, okay, you, I tell you what to write. You write, and I sign to so that I'm in agreement to what you have written. So he sent it to China.
Wow.
So that's how I grew up. And from a very young age, he has also always impressed upon me the importance of Chinese traditional values, the values of hard work, perseverance, discipline, being filial to your parents, including worship of ancestors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember growing up, right, there were a lot of prayers around, you know, my family as well as our neighbors. Especially during Chinese New Year and the Ghost Festival, Qingming, you know.
Qingming, yeah. Yes.
So there were a lot of prayers around us. And he has always told me, you know, when we die, we will all go to hell. And we will all be punished very harshly in hell. So when my grandfather died, I was around 12. I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I was so badly affected. I was so sad. And I was so deeply troubled that he died. Yeah, because I remember what he told me about hell. Yeah.
So at your age, because I mean, as kids, like, I'm 11 or I mean, I'm 29 now. But back then, you know, we also hear about the concept of heaven and hell, but we don't really understand this. It's a quite a big concept to understand as children what hell is or what heaven is. So when he shared with you about this, everyone go to hell, you get punished for it. Just say you steal. I don't know what happens if you steal the. Cut your hand? Something
yes,
like that?
Yes, yes, yes. They if cut your hand, they cut your tongue. Yeah.
Right.
Those things that he went very detailed in describing to me what actually happened in hell.
No joke. And whilst that scared you, did you actually understand this concept of hell? You understood everything he said?
No. So I didn't understand what he was saying. I didn't have any understanding or concept of death, hell, or heaven, nothing. Except that after he has passed away, I kept asking myself, and I kept asking my mom until my mom was so fed up with me. I kept asking my mom, I said, when grandfather was alive, when Kung Kung was alive, why did Kung Kung agree to go to hell? Kung Kung being such a smart man, why did he sign on agreeing to going to hell? Why didn't he talk to higher authorities and make that change that he didn't have to go to hell, that he could go to a better place.
Right.
So that was always bothering me since I was very young.
So you always had that at the back of your head somewhat, right?
Somehow
you always had that back
because
of your head.
Because I was very close to my grandfather. And I said, he's such a smart man. Why did he agree to that? Because, you see, when we were writing to his relatives in China, he always said that, okay, I sign here that I agree to the content of the letters. So for me, after he died, he said, for me, he said, where did he sign that he agreed to go to hell? You know, so those were my thoughts. I didn't really understand what it was, except why did he agree to that?
Especially it's such a terrible place. They cut yes, here, cut
exactly,
this, cut that.
Exactly.
Right. So safe to say when you were in this time, you did not hear about the person or the God name Jesus Christ. Never. You never heard of him
never,
before.
Never. So, because I was only 12.
Yeah, exactly. You're only 12. So this was you only exposed to as this much as what your grandfather has told you. Now, Angie, don't mind me asking, because what about your parents? You know, were they very strict, for example, you know, or were they, all of you were Taoist Buddhists, I assume? What about your parents?
So my parents are all Taoists.
Okay.
Of course, whether Taoist or Buddhism is a little bit of blur line.
Correct.
So they pray and worship deities.
Yeah.
And of course, Buddha as well.
All kinds of gods, I assume.
All kinds, like kitchen god, health god, wealth god. Of course, now thinking back, it was quite funny.
Yeah. But at that time, not so funny, right? Really?
The time wasn't funny, especially when they talk about hell. It wasn't funny. It was very, very scary, actually. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Now, may I ask you, as far as your memory can remember, when did you first hear the name Jesus Christ? Now, we talk over the phone a little bit, so I already know what the answer is because it has to do with your sister. But maybe even before that, is there a time when you first heard the name Jesus Christ? And maybe you can share with us, what was your reaction? You're probably like, ugh, just brush it off. Or you're like intrigued or interested. Do you remember this time?
I do. Since young, I have always been very spiritually sensitive.
Yeah.
Especially after my grandfather passed away, I was like, searching since I was young.
Mm.
So the first time I heard the name Jesus was when my younger sister came back from a church camp.
Mm.
So when she first came back from the church camp, he accepted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the pruning process wasn't exactly easy for her,
right?
Because my family members are all Buddhists.
Yes.
And also not only Buddhists, but very strong Chinese traditional values.
Mm.
So she was the first Christian in our family.
This is your
my younger sister.
Your younger sister.
Yeah,
so
I'm
number five.
Fourth is number five.
I see.
So very close to me as well. We grew up together. Mm. And she accepted Christ. It was like, in my family, it was like, uh-oh, okay. And of course, with the pruning process, it wasn't easy.
Mm.
But in the end, all of us witness the testimony of a good Christian.
Mm.
Because over a period of time, we saw he became more confident, more self-assured, always very calm.
Mm.
And also with this measure of course, now I know peace.
Mm.
But when we look at her and we always discuss among ourselves, she had always had this very calm and collected look, you know, very measured, you know. If she got panicked, she said, okay, I'm going to pray. So, she really, through her, we witnessed the testimony of good Christian, really. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, because when you first told me, you know, it was quite a scary experience for you as well, right?
Like, yeah, the
pruning process, as you said.
It was scary. But it was only a short time.
Yes, yes.
Then subsequently, we saw how she lived her life.
And how God transformed her life.
How God transformed her life. It has been amazing.
How did your parents think? Because I imagine your parents to be very staunch and very religious as well. So when she came out of church, did she announce to them that she was a Christian, or did they find out? How did your parents take this news? Were they very open, for example?
As a whole, because they love us and they have always told us it's free will.
Yep.
But we all know at the back of our mind, because of Chinese traditional family, worshipping ancestors has always been an important part of our life.
Yes.
Yeah. So when my younger sister accepted Christ, I think for her it was a sense of guilt. Almost like a sense of betrayal.
Mm.
But my parents was very good.
Mm.
Because she was going through some challenges in her life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as she's happy, and we saw her, how she transformed.
Mm.
So while the initial 6 months or so,
yeah,
it was pretty traumatic for our family.
Mm.
But we wanted to give her time. And after which, we saw how she transformed. Mm. And yeah.
And that's a testimony by itself already.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. So now, you know, you've heard the name Jesus Christ, and now you've also started, I imagine you finished studying already, and you have started a very successful corporate career. Now, just so you all know, right, she's a very successful corporate lady. Because you were in this fashion company, FJ
Benjamin.
For how many years?
18 years.
And what was your role in FJ Benjamin?
Okay, so I have a fairly colourful...
I think you're being very humble by saying fairly colourful, okay? Because fashion... you attended fashion shows, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Not
yeah.
just local ones. You went to...
Paris and so on, yeah.
My
so,
goodness.
So I was...
I can see my wife behind the camera, by the way. She's like, I wish.
Yeah. So it was very exciting period of my corporate life. So... I was in FJ Benjamin for 18 years. Mm. I was the CEO of FJ Benjamin. Mm. FJ Benjamin was then one of the top three fashion group in Southeast Asia.
Wow.
So they used to own brands like Gucci, Fendi, Celine.
I'm going to pretend like I know what you're talking about here. Gucci. Okay. Oh.
Big international brands.
Yeah. I know a lot. I heard.
And Guess as well, and many other brands.
Right.
So I used to travel to fashion capital cities like Milan, Paris, New York to attend meetings and fashion show.
Wow.
So it was very, very stressful. Mm-hmm. Stressful. But... it was very, very nice. I had such a fulfilling career for my 18 years in FJ Benjamin.
Wow. Yeah. And of course, in that process, I imagine you found yourself a good-looking man who is a doctor, you got married, you know, you started your own family.
Yes, exactly.
All within that time, is it?
Or? Yes, all within that time. Wow. All within that period of time.
Right. Yeah. Now, Angie, may I ask you, because you've heard the name Jesus Christ, you know, and you said you grew up in a sort of missionary school, so you're not oblivious to this God named Jesus, right? May I ask, what led you to finally accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? After having all these impressions, after knowing about, wow, hell, right? It's such a terrible place, cut here, cut there. You know, your sister as well, seeing her life as a testimony. What led you to make that personal decision on your own?
Okay, so when I was busy with my corporate life, got married and busy with life and travel and whatnot, at the same time, I was also active in the Taoist community.
Right.
I participated in the Taoist community. I went for trips together, attend social gatherings and all that. So I have been a spiritually sensitive child since I was young. So attended all those activities and I was active for about 18 years. I took on committee role and so on and so forth. In year 2012, there were internal disputes within the community that I was active in. Mm-hmm. So within the 2 years or so, I saw that their practices and approaches weren't quite aligned with my values and beliefs. Mm. So from being a very active committee member within the Taoist community, I disengaged. Mm. I disengaged and I did nothing for 2-3 years. Nothing for 2-3 years and I was spiritually empty for 2-3 years. Mm. I traveled alone, did some soul searching.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot in the 2-3 years. Mm. And I thought about my sister. The testimony that she shared and my many Christian friends and all that. Mm. And one day I picked up the Bible and I read. I can't quite remember exactly what happened, but it was like, ding. I said, okay, I'm going to call my sister. I'm going to find out more about this God, Jesus. So I called her and she prayed for me and I accepted Christ.
Wow.
So you see, I went through a period of zero spiritually for 2-3 years. Mm. Very disappointed with the community that I spent 18 years with and decided that not going to do anything, just going to disengage. And suddenly one day, after reading the Bible, and I said that, call my sister. So, yeah, I called her and I accepted Christ.
Wow, fantastic. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, and you said you're very spiritually sensitive, and I'm pretty sure because this is about you know, your childhood as well, you know, because you've been so exposed. And spiritually sensitive is, I think, one of the characteristics that I can describe you as well because of your experience, which we will talk about a little bit later. Now, if you don't mind, I want to ask a little bit about Dr. Kang. If you guys haven't heard this name, well, it's because it is her lovely husband. And I want to ask, because when you first came to Christ, you brought him to church as well, because, you know, he also wasn't a Christian. So you made an effort, similar to how your sister made an effort, you brought him to church. But it took some time for him to know God. And tell us why and how did he finally come to give up something super important to him?
Yeah. So my first year into my walk with Jesus was, my first year I wasn't very engaged.
Yeah.
I went to church. I went to church with my sister. And my husband came to church, went to church with me. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't very engaged. It's because he was still in his little zone. He was in his zone of Buddhism, Taoism, and all that. And because he also come from a family with very strong Chinese traditions. Mm. You know, during our wedding, after all the jam cha and so on, we had to go to the temple with our with my wedding gown, sweating and all that. Oh, we went to the temple and prayed. Yeah.
Wow.
So that kind of family, you know, and since he was young, he visited the temple, he went trips with all this Taoist Buddhism practice and so on. So, but because I accepted Christ and I say, come to church with me. So we went to church together for a year and I wasn't very engaged because he was a Buddhist or Taoist. He needed time to intellectualize. For him, head knowledge is important. Yeah, the theology of the Bible is important. So he took about a year to do very serious research.
But to be fair, he's a doctor. That's why he needs the logical sense, the rational side of things.
Yes. Yep, he needs this head knowledge, you know. Mm. So he did his research for one full year. And of course, he's a very serious person. So when he said research means research, you know.
For us, research, doctor different, right? Their research.
Different. Yeah, this research is different. Mm-hmm. Very detailed.
Right.
And he literally read the Bible for that year from page one to the last page.
Wow.
And so he did a lot of reflections as well. So one day he came to me. He said God spoke to him. And he said that the whole Bible just come alive.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said that whatever he has been reading in the Bible, he said that it is so real and so logical. So I can't explain to you in his own words because he is one who is very deep thinking about theology of the Bible and so on. But that night, suddenly, and I remember it was late at night because late at night, sometimes it can be quite scary. It was late at night. And he took off his pendant. This is the pendant that he has been wearing since he was 7 years old.
What pendant is it, if you don't mind sharing? What?
It's a Buddhist pendant. Yeah, he took off his Buddhist pendant and he passed to me. He said that, I'm not going to wear this anymore. You can take away and I'm going to accept Jesus. So it's amazing. It's amazing. He said God spoke to him.
Wow.
But before that, he had to spend 1 year reading deep research into the Bible. So that's my husband.
Wow, but praise the Lord, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Wow, you see really the promises of God is true, right? You know, when one person in the household, you know, and really the whole household, the Lord looks after.
It's the whole household.
Right? It's not it's not you alone, but he takes care of your children.
Amazing.
Yourself, even your siblings as well. Now, we've come to the part where, you know, yes, we heard about your husband, we heard about your childhood, and today is present day. And you're beaming with joy. I'm beaming with joy. And we started off this conversation by declaring and we're so happy that you are 100% cancer-free. And I think this is a big part of the reason why we really want you to be here today is because we want to just maybe rewind back to end of January. The first time I met you, Angie, was last year in December. And I remember having dinner with you and, you know, our mutual friends as well. And we were having dinner and you look completely fine. May I just add?
Yes.
You look completely normal, because we were sitting and having dinner together, right?
Just
a month before the January. And never would I imagine in my wildest dreams of the journey you would have had in the next 7 months. coming to this day. So I want to take you back, not December, but rewind back us to end of January when you first were, rolled into the emergency unit, or when you first fell ill, and how today you're sitting here telling us the best news ever. So yeah, take us back to end of January. What happened then to you?
So Brandon, end January, I haven't, this all happened in end January, just before Chinese New Year. Mm. So I haven't been well for like about a week. Mm. I was having flu and headache, migraine, hasn't been well. So on a Saturday morning when I woke up, I was feeling very, very sleepy still. Woke up 8 o'clock in the morning and I told my husband, I'm going to go back to sleep. Mm. And please wake me at about 12 o'clock. So I went back to sleep. So somehow, this really is God-guided miracle instinct. I had no symptoms, because I was looking good, I was well.
Exactly.
Except I wasn't feeling quite good that morning.
Yeah, tired.
No symptoms. Yeah. So woke up in the morning, then he said that, no, I need to take you to emergency unit to do a scan. Mm. I was screaming and kicking because I don't like hospital. And I said, no, I'm not going to the hospital. It's Saturday. Just going to the shops much later. So he insisted. He took me to the hospital and they did all types of scan. And to his surprise, they noticed two lumps in my brain. Mm. Of the two lumps, one is about 4 cm big, very huge lump. So the doctor told him that needed to do emergency operation. And because I was that time like in and out of consciousness already, the lump was growing and pressing on my drainage system. Mm. And the doctor told him that the emergency operation had to be done immediately. Mm. And I could not be moved out of the hospital or out of the country. And thank God, Brandon, everything was like ngam-ngam, you know, because he sent me to Pantai Hospital and Pantai has one of the best brain surgeons. Mm. So I underwent a 3 hours operation. Everything could have gone wrong because it was a very, very risky operation. Everything could have gone wrong in the sense that I could have lapsed into coma because I was like, I thought I was sleepy, but I wasn't sleepy. I was just drowsy. Mm. And if he has allowed me to sleep, if my husband has allowed me to sleep, I would have lapsed into coma and never woken up. Mm. So, and somehow he sent me to Pantai Hospital. Mm. So after the operation went on smoothly, thank God. Mm. After the operation, I was in ICU for 5 days. Mm. The 5 days ICU was very, very critical because I was so heavily sedated with steroid, antibiotics, and right after the operation, big cut, you know, they took an electrical saw to saw open my brain, you know, and took out the lumps. Mm. So after the operation, I was under observation, ICU, 24 hours, nurses round the clock.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember whether it was first day or second day because I was in and out of consciousness. Mm. So when I was in and out of consciousness in ICU, there was one night I heard funeral home chanting sound. Mm. Funeral home chanting sound, and it was a little far away and I was very, very weak. When I heard the funeral home chanting sound, I was so weak that I just instinctively said, Jesus, Jesus, please help me. I was whispering, Jesus, Jesus, please help me. Jesus, Jesus, please help me. After that, I've fallen asleep and I can't quite remember what happened after that. So after, I don't know how long, because I was in and out of consciousness. Mm. After a period of time, the chanting sound came back. Mm. The funeral home chanting sound came back. And this time round, the chanting sound was very clear. It was loud. It was just next to me. So when the chanting sound was going on, It reminded me of my grandfather. Mm. It reminded me of what my grandfather told me about hell. Mm. And as though he was calling me, you know, and I was so close to my grandfather.
Yeah.
But at that point in time, very instinctively, I said, and I spoke in Cantonese, yeah. I said, you go away. You're not supposed to be here. Please don't take me with you because my grandfather is dead, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't take me with you. I'm not following you.
Mm.
So it was... Then at that time, my mind was also much clearer. Second time around, my mind was also much clearer. And the, as I said all that, the chanting sound became louder.
Mm.
And I got panic. I got panic and my heart was racing so fast. So I told myself...
Mm.
Don't get panic. Calm down. And I told myself, no, I'm not dead. I'm still alive. And I said, okay, what do I do now?
Mm.
I told myself, first, I must establish that I'm not buried alive. Mm. I'm not locked in coffin.
You were actually thinking about...
I was thinking about that because the second time around, my mind was clearer.
So you thought you were actually like being buried alive?
I thought I was actually buried alive.
Oh.
Because of this funeral home chanting sound.
Is that of clear and of...
Because it was just next to me.
Oh.
And also because when I was young, right, during the Qingming period,
yeah,
they used to pray and all that. And then this chanting sound reminded me of my grandfather's funeral.
Mm.
And it was as though my grandfather was calling me. Mm. So I was like, oh no, am I buried alive?
Mm-mm.
So immediately, I reached out and I did this to make sure that I wasn't buried alive and I wasn't in a coffin. Okay, not in a coffin. Not buried alive. But this chanting sound, what is it? I said, don't get panicked. Call upon Jesus.
Mm.
Jesus, please help me. Jesus, please help me. So I said out very loud.
Yeah.
Jesus, please help me. And you know what, Brandon? Jesus came. The Jesus that came, Jesus that I saw, because I always imagined that I would, how Jesus looked like.
Yeah.
Right? It's not in the form of a person.
Mm-hmm.
He has no shape.
Mm.
He has no form.
Mm.
I could see his expression so clearly because he looked so pleased to see me.
Mm.
I could see his expression so clearly and I could feel his presence and I could hear his voice.
Mm.
So I said, Jesus, I don't want to die.
Mm.
Please save me. And then he nodded his head. I said, Jesus, please give me 5 years.
Mm.
He nodded his head and yes. I said, Jesus, please give me 5 + 3.
I'm sorry.
I said, because COVID is taking away 3 years from me. This was in January.
Okay.
This was in January in the middle of COVID, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, because COVID is taking away 3 years from me. And because also in my corporate life, right, I used to negotiate
leases,
contract with principals and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always like, 5 + 5, 5 + 3 and all that. And then 3 years COVID, right?
Yeah.
So I said, Jesus, please give me 5 + 3 because COVID is taking away 3 years from me.
Oh.
So he smiled. He looked very pleased. Then he nodded his head. Then I said, Jesus.
5 + 5.
No.
Oh.
So he nodded his head. Then I said, Jesus, I promise to be good. Like a child.
Mm-mm-mm.
I said, Jesus, I promise to be good. Please give me 10 + 3. He nodded. He said yes.
Mm.
And he said, you have barely started the work that I want you to do.
Wow.
So at that point in time when he said that, the feeling that he gave me was like, be a godly, good Christian. Be a good steward. Be a good shepherd. Mm. You will have more than 10 + 3. And you know what, Brandon? Subsequently, he said, whatever illnesses that you have, I will heal you. You will be healed. He repeated that. Mm. He said that twice. I will heal you. You will be healed.
Mm.
So when I woke up, of course, I had a bit of mixed feeling of this chanting sound, my grandfather. And I was like, oh, Jesus. I met Jesus. Mm. So when everybody was like very, very sad because of the operation and they knew that probably not good news, you know. So my mom was crying, my sister was crying, and everybody was very down and sad. But I was so much at peace because Jesus promised me that he will heal me. And I've been holding on to his promise.
Wow.
So you see, Jesus is true to his words.
Yes.
He said he will heal me. And when the doctor explained to me my condition, stage 4 lung cancer, he told me that, but you are very blessed.
Mm.
He said that you have this special marker in your cancer cell. It's called ALK. So your treatment will be quite simple. You don't have to do chemo. You just have to take medication. And we expect your prognosis to be very good. Because this special markers that I have, only 5% of the population has it. So it's like, oh, 5%. Okay, very hopeful. But the whole team of doctors in the hospital and including the doctors at home, they really did not expect 3 months later, zero cancer cell in the lungs.
Wow.
And 7 months later, 100% free from cancer and in full remission.
Come on. Wow. Fantastic.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Wow.
For giving me second lease of life.
Wow. I love the way you lose second lease and then you had 5 plus 3. And what do you mean you asked for 10 plus 10?
10 plus 3.
You might as well just ask for 20 plus 4, 20 plus 10, you know?
It will be 20 plus 10 because he said that you have barely started on the work that I want you to do.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Angie,
amen.
You have no idea how encouraged I am to hear a story like this. And like I said, the timing is perfect because, you know, you come in here and then when we were talking over the phone last Tuesday and you were like, so excited, Brandon, I'm 100% cancer free. And for 1 minute, we were just rejoicing together.
Yes, exactly.
And it was
our
beautiful.
God is so amazing. You know, Brandon, this is a medical miracle, you know.
Mm.
It's really a medical miracle. Our God is a miracle healing God.
Yes, amen.
Amen, amen.
Now, Angie, you know, what a story. When you look back on your life, right, when you see how your life has developed, when you see and you just look back right now and you have the benefit of hindsight, what can you say about God?
Our God is so full of mercy. He's a God of compassion. He's a provider. He's a multiplier. But most importantly, he's a miracle healing God.
That's amazing. Angie, before I let you go, is it okay if I prayed for you? Is that all right?
Yes, please pray for me.
Come. Lord, we just want to thank you for Angie's life, Lord. We just want to thank you for how she has come to know you, Lord Jesus, and how you have miraculously healed her, Lord, that today she can stand on top of a mountain, Lord Jesus, and declare that she is 100% cancer-free, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that truly, Lord, when you appeared to her, Lord, she felt the Father's love, Lord Jesus. She felt your love, Lord. And she knows, Lord Jesus, that her life is well taken care of, Lord. We thank you as well, Lord, for giving in her heart, Lord, a purpose for her life as well, Lord Jesus, that the work for her has just begun, Lord. There are so many things for her to experience, so many more encounters that she's going to have with you, Lord. And just want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you open, Lord, open the doors for her, Lord. Open many, many doors for her, opportunities as well for her to share her story, to share her testimony, Lord Jesus, to share your goodness, Lord, of what you have done for her in her life, Lord, that if God can heal her, Lord, if you, Lord, can heal her, and you can heal so many other people as well, Lord, because you are the same God, Lord, that she's telling everyone about, Lord. And we thank you for her life. We thank you for her family as well, Lord Jesus, that they're a family who knows you, who knows the fear of the Lord, and a family who serves you, Lord Jesus, who loves you. So we just want to pray and ask, oh Lord Jesus, that you'll use her mightily in your kingdom, Lord Jesus, that she'll be salt, Lord Jesus, salt of the earth and light of the world, Lord, in the community, Lord, in the church, in her family as well, Lord Jesus. We just want to pray and pray that you bless her, Lord Jesus. You keep her strong and mighty, Lord Jesus, for the work that you have set her out to do. And we bless her, Lord Jesus, and her family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Angie,
amen.
Any last words, anything the Holy Spirit impresses upon you right now that you'd like to share? By all means, go for it.
What I'd like to say is that whatever you're going through in your life, whatever stage of your life, invite Jesus into your life. Share your life with Jesus. Whether you are celebrating an important milestone or success story of your life, invite Jesus into your life. Share it with Jesus, because our God is a God of multiplier. He will multiply your success many, many folds. I have personally witnessed it, and many of my friends have witnessed it as well. And if you're going through financial difficulties or illnesses like what I have gone through, invite Jesus into your life. Share it with Jesus. Our God is a provider, and most importantly, He is a miracle healing God. He will heal you, He will heal all of us, like how He has healed me. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Angie.
How long, eh?
No, we haven't stopped yet. We have to say goodbye to everyone first. So yes, thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Above everything else, we also want to say thank you for being so brave and so bold to share your story. I'm sure many have been blessed by it. I know I personally have. And we want to say to all of you as well, if you enjoyed this story, if you want to listen to more of this, you can subscribe to our channel, Let's Get Real. You can join us on our Discord community server, as well as Instagram and Facebook. You can follow us there as well, like our page as well. And yes, you know, if you've listened to this story and you felt really blessed, hey, you know what? Share this with your friends, anyone you come across with. We want to say God bless you. We'll see you guys again on the next episode. This has been Let's Get Real with me, Brandon Ho. Ooh. And Miss Angie Chung. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode of our podcast. We believe and trust that you'll be inspired, blessed and encouraged by this episode.
And if you'd like to see more episodes like this, be sure to subscribe to our channel, like this video and share it with your friends.
Also, we have a Discord community where you can join, have fun and even seek for prayer. And of course, if you want to support this ministry, this studio and keep us going, you can drop your love gifts at the bank details that you see on your screen right now.
Be sure to earmark Let's Get Real or LGR so that we know that your giving will be used for this show.
Thank you so much in advance. Until next time, God bless.